Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Jaya Godadha Shiva Sadi. The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on April 29, 1982. The class begins with a reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 16, Verse 1.
सरिज्जस्या विश्वम् अप्लावन्त्यपि निजगैव सदा भाति तं चैतन्य प्रभुं भजे. I worship Lord Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose nectarine mercy flows like a great river, inundating the entire universe just as a river flows downstream. Lord Chaitanya especially extends himself to the fallen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya
Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Before Narottam Das Thakur has sung Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Koro More. He prays for Lord Chaitanya's mercy because he is the mercy incarnation, having appeared especially to claim the fallen souls. The more fallen one is, the greater one's claim to the favor of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must only be very sincere and serious. Despite being contaminated by all the bad qualities of this Kali Yuga, if one surrenders unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord will surely and certainly deliver him. The best example is Jagai and Manhai. In this age of Kali, practically everyone is like Jagai and Manhai. But the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still flowing like a great river, inundating the entire world, and thus the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is successfully claiming all fallen souls to free them from contamination. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mercy incarnation, having appeared especially to deliver the fallen souls. And this International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been described as being the waters here of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which are flowing like a great river for inundating the entire world. That there are so many difficult and complicated practices for becoming self-realized, for becoming religiously perfected or God-realized. But all of those different methods are beset with so many obstacles, with so many difficulties, that there is no guarantee of success in this short life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is so merciful that he has given a process which is able to purify the material consciousness of anyone. Even the most fallen, it mentions here Jagai Manhai. Jagai Manhai were two great ruffians of the Middle Age. Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago. They were like the organized crime of that day. They were the mafia leaders. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them. In fact, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they became completely sanctified. Although initially they tried to kill Lord Nityananda, but in the end, his mercy prevailed. So it was such a feat that it was as if Babyface Nelson and Al Capone had become Hare Krishna swamis. And it fact, it had that effect. Because all the people came from literally hundreds and hundreds of miles to see how these great criminals had become great devotees. So there's no limit to the power of purification, of this chanting of the great mantra for deliverance, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare
Hare. Here we have another Sanskrit verse. Jiyat Kaishora Chaitanyo Murti Matya Grihasamat Lakshmar Chitota Bhagdebya Dishang Jai Jaya Chalat. Long live Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Kisora age. Both the goddess of fortune and the goddess of learning worship him. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, worshipped him in his victory over the scholar who had conquered all the world. And the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, worshipped him at home. Since he is therefore the husband of or lord of both goddesses, I offer my obeisances unto him. It's very hard. You have the two. One is Saraswati and one is Lakshmi. Saraswati is the goddess of learning. And Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth, of fortune. Generally someone has learning, but then they're not so wealthy. Or someone has lots of wealth, but then they're not so learned or cultured. But here, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, he is the Lord of both. So he has not only learning and culture, but he has all opulence also. So similarly, the devotees like to see Lord Chaitanya in his Kisora age. Kisora age means around 12 to 18. Or you can say 14, 16, 18. Like that. 16 from the center. Just in his youthful prime. So, when he was just a young man, just a teenager, he was already at the full opulence in so many different ways that he was considered to be the greatest scholar in Navadvip. Actually, we should understand that just as we come here in this way, the Lord can also come here, but we come here under very stringent laws. We come here under the law of karma, and we are forced to transmigrate to various bodies, according to our mentality, our desires, and our activities. But when the Lord comes, he is independent. He's coming out of his own free will. That in human civilization, there are periods when the human beings become more materialistic and they forget the real spiritual purpose of life. At that time, the Lord sends some great devotee, some son of God, a prophet, an acharya, spiritual master, or he himself comes to reestablish principles of self-realization, of religion, like Lord Buddha is the partial incarnation of Krishna. We accept Lord Jesus as a shaktavish, or empowered living entity, coming empowered by Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though, is actually Krishna himself. Krishna came 5,000 years ago and spoke the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, he said, "Rahangsaravasya pralava, everything is coming from me. Mata paratrang nanyat kaschid kinchid asti dananjaya," that there's no higher truth than me. Arjuna saw Krishna's universal form. Countless living entities saw Krishna's universal form. Then Arjuna praised Krishna that you are Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Vritram, Param Bhavan. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are the shelter of everything. You are the unknowable. You are the transcendental Lord. So Krishna, when he comes, he is considered Swarat. That means completely independent. In this world, we all want to be independent. Everyone says they want to be independent. They want freedom. They want liberty to do everything and anything they want. But unfortunately, we are not able to do so. We are actually forced to follow our senses. We are forced to suffer and enjoy due to stringent laws of material nature. We are not independent. But when Krishna comes, he's independent. Whatever he does, there's no reaction. He's not suffering or enjoying the effects of karma. Everyone sees how the successful man down the street has set up his business, and he doesn't only have to go to office 2 hours a day, and he spends most of his time in Southern California or in Miami, and just comes up and he's making so many millions of dollars, and so everybody opens up a small business and wants to also become a multimillionaire. But it doesn't happen. Not everyone who opens up a business becomes rich. In fact, a lot of small businesses fail. But everyone has that hope. So why someone succeeds and someone doesn't? It's not, there's five causes for every action. The doer, the thing to be done, the place, the time, and daiva, providence. One's karma, the will of the Supreme. So, someone succeeds in his previous lives, or in this life he has performed such activities where he has good karma. Therefore he succeeds to enjoy, to some extent, the fruits of his work. Someone else comparatively enjoys less. These are not within the complete control of the individual. Even if we'd like to be free, our freedom is limited by so many stringent laws, some of which we are aware of, and some of which we may not be aware of. If we know what are the laws, if we know how we are limited, if we know where we actually stand, then we can chalk out for ourselves what is the actual course we should take in this life. A person who knows where he stands is in a much better situation than a person who isn't completely in the dark. So Krishna consciousness is meant to distribute knowledge to people so that they can know what is their actual position in this material world, and so that they can achieve good fortune in this life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has made it very simple. But when he came down, he came in disguise. He didn't reveal himself as God. In the Kali Yuga, this particular age of destruction, age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the original personality of Godhead does not come in his original form. There's four main ages: golden, silver, bronze, and iron. This is the Iron Age. The Lord is known as Tri Yuga because he comes in the golden, silver, and bronze age. He does not come in this Iron Age in his original form. But he comes in empowered forms or in covered forms. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has come in a covered form. Covered from our vision. Not that he is covered, but we are not able to see him. Because he has put a veil of Maya over himself. He has come as a devotee. Something like a professor, when he teaches his students, you write like this. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita he said so many things that today there are about 600 different translations of Bhagavad Gita, each with their own interpretation. So it's very bewildering if you want to be a student of the Bhagavad Gita, which one to believe. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the same thing 500 years ago. Krishna knew he had spoken the Bhagavad Gita, and so many people were misinterpreting it, that he personally came to show this is how you practice it. Just like when you buy an amateur radio set or some kind of do-it-yourself kit, and if you can't ultimately figure out the directions, then you can go to the manufacturer, and then they'll send forward the manual, say, you do it like this, and they'll show you how you do it. Then, of course, you feel like a fool because it was so simple. It was written right there. Similarly, everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita as it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, I've not come to give anything new. I've come simply to speak Krishna Katha. He himself is Krishna. But he showed practically how to practice it. So in his early life he was in Navadvip, then he went to Jagannath Puri, then he toured, he went to Benares, to Jagannath, to Vrindavan, and through a whole South India he toured, up to Bombay. In this way he toured the whole India by foot, preaching this Harinam Sankirtan. Even today, in the farthest tip of Kerala, people are chanting Hare Krishna, and there are some temples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still there. And his footprints are established in temples all around India. And of course, in eastern India, he is worshipped very emphatically, very enthusiastically. And now he's worshipped all over the world, thanks to His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, who has brought this movement all over the world. So, Krishna, when he was in Vrindavan, nobody knew that he was God. He kept it a secret. He really only revealed it once he left Vrindavan. Of course, people could understand. But he kept himself covered by yoga maya just as a cowherd boy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kept himself covered by yoga maya, and his pastime was he was a young scholar. He was a great pandit. Pandit means someone who knows the scripture inside and out. In the West, a professor would be also, you could consider, a pandit, a PhD. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a pandit. He was known as Nimai Pandit, a teacher. But he started early, as is said in this text 4. Eto kishora lilar sutra anubandha shishyagana poraite korila arambo. At the age of 11, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to teach students. This marks the beginning of his Kaishora age. He started his Kaishora age at the age of 11. Well, normally people start at 16, but he started early. Sata sata shishya sange sada adhyapam vyakasane sarvalokeer samakhita mon. As soon as the Lord became a teacher, many, many students came to him. Every one of them astonished to hear his mode of explanation. Sarva shasti sarva pandit paya purajay vinoya bangite karo dukha nahi hoy. Translation. The Lord defeated all kinds of scholars and discourses about all the scriptures, yet because of His gentle behavior, none of them were unhappy. Text 7. Divida audatya kore shishya gano sange janavite jale kele kore nana range. The Lord as a teacher performed various kinds of pranks and His sporting pastimes in the water of the Ganges. So, I wanted to discuss today some of the pastimes. This is just in a very brief form they've described here, so I thought I could explain some of the details of what Lord Chaitanya did when he was in his Kaishora age. After he went to the eastern Bengal and preached Harinam Sankirtan, and at the same time, after that he got married to Lakshmi Priya. He met Tapan Misra. Tapan Misra wanted to go to Navadvip, but Lord Chaitanya sent him to Banaras. He said that they would meet there again, which happened. And this way, Lakshmi Devi, she was very unhappy that Lord Chaitanya had gone. So before he went to eastern Bengal, where Bhakti Das was preaching for several years, taking a great personal risk and sacrifice. But in those days it was very opulent. Now it's more difficult. So what happened was, Lord Chaitanya, he gradually collected literally hundreds of students, even though he was only 11, 12 years old. Because he was so expert, actually he was about, say, I'll discuss about the period just before he left when he was about 14, when he just had got married. And even then he was already, of course, about full grown, he's 7 feet tall, and he was approaching that height already. He's known as Ajanu Lambida Bhujo, meaning that his arms reach down to his knees when he's standing up. They're so long. And he's very beautiful to look at. All good qualities. So, Lord Chaitanya, he was so expert that he would explain all of the scriptural, all of the Sanskrit grammar, everything in terms of syllable of different type of stories and syllables. How do you go? Similes using Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's names. And it was very interesting. So many students like to hear. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he would be with his students, and then he would study for about 6 hours a day. Then they'd wander, walk around through the town, and he would go, surrounded by all of his students. Many of them were much older than he was. But because he was so brilliant, as mentioned here, he had actually defeated a great scholar who was 50 years old, the greatest scholar, had defeated everyone in the whole of India. When he met Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya defeated him. That's a whole other long story. Well, Lord Chaitanya revealed to him then that he was actually Krishna. When this great scholar worshipped the goddess of learning, Saraswati, his worshipable deity, and she revealed to him that actually this is Krishna, that's why you were defeated. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed himself. It's a whole other story. Happens a little later. So Lord Chaitanya is going, and he sees the different scholars. He'd meet a scholar, and immediately he would say, "Oh, my dear Brahmin, my dear Bhattacharji, my dear Pandey, my dear whatever," and then he'd say, "How are you today?" He said, "Please, I want to learn something from you. Can you?" And then he would ask a question, which would be so difficult that the person couldn't answer. Or if he answered, then Lord Chaitanya would then say, "Oh, your answer is very wonderful." He said, "It is so filled with good points and so filled with defects." And then, you know, "Could you point out the good points and the defects?" And then the person, they actually wouldn't see the defect in his own work. And then Lord Chaitanya would take it apart and show, "These are the good points, these are the defects." And this way, they would all accept defeat at Lord Chaitanya, that actually he had perfect understanding of Sanskrit and of all the Shastras. So, but basically Lord Chaitanya was teaching his students Sanskrit grammar, the basics. So he saw Mukunda, and Mukunda was trying to avoid Lord Chaitanya, but he called out, "Mukunda, Mukunda, why you are avoiding me?" He was caught. He thought, "I'm going to teach this Lord Chaitanya, I'm going to teach this Nimai Pandit now. He's just a grammarian. He doesn't know the finer poetic things about Sanskrit. What's the use he wants everyone to follow. He does follow him. I'm going to deflate him today." This was what Mukunda was thinking. This was, let's see, before, later Mukunda became a really great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But this time, so he came and he said that, "Why should I follow you? You only know grammar. What do you know about Alankara, about Sanskrit poetry?" So then Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, you compose some poetry and then we'll see if I know anything on that." And so then again the same thing happened when Mukunda got caught. He made a verse, and Lord Chaitanya completely dissected it and pointed out its good and bad points, and Lord Chaitanya started speaking so much other poetry. And then all of his students started laughing. Mukunda turned red. And so then Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, you just consider this thing and we can meet tomorrow and discuss some more poetry." And then Mukunda was thinking, if just he was a pure devotee, he wasn't so much into the scholastic pursuits, then I would stay with him all the time. That's what he was thinking. So, but then Mukunda, he left. And like this, Lord Chaitanya walking, going through the town. Then he saw Gadadhar. "Hey, Gadadhar! It's been so long! Why are you hiding?" He was caught. Everyone was they knew that if he got caught by Lord Chaitanya, that was it. He was going to, any Brahmana, any other scholar, he'd put him right against the wall. So then, Lord Chaitanya asked him that, "Please, I just have one question. Could you tell me what is the meaning of mukti? What is the meaning of liberation?" So then, this is how Lord Chaitanya very humbly, very nice, come up and just grab on with some question. Seemingly very simple question, what is liberation? But everyone knows that any question by Lord Chaitanya is loaded by Nimai Pandit. So, in this he had a very great sense of humor, but he was very sweet how he behaved with everyone. He was in complete control of every situation. Just like Krishna was enjoying with cowherd boys and with Lord Chaitanya, he was enjoying this type of university type rush, going with his students. And so then Gadadhar, he quoted from Upanishads that liberation means the complete ending of all type of material misery. Lord Chaitanya said, this is not complete. Then Lord Chaitanya started quoting from so many different scriptures. Gadadhar started thinking that he never studied all these scriptures. How does he know every scripture, every Vedic scripture, every Vedic literature, that even we only know the name, but we haven't, where you can't even find hardly the manuscript. And how he can pick out slokas and verses just from every one of these without, I never remember that he ever studied these. How is that humanly possible? And he started to establish that the real liberation is not just negation of material misery, but it's actually establishment of Krishna consciousness, the establishment of one's relationship with Krishna. The liberation, which is simply negation of material misery, that is not complete. Complete liberation means not only is material misery negated, but positive spiritual ananda, satchidananda, vigra. The full, eternal, blissful knowledge is realized. The complete form of Krishna is realized. That is complete liberation. So, Gadadhar, he had nothing, he didn't know what to say. So Lord Chaitanya said, well, you can think about it tomorrow again, we'll meet and discuss some more. And this way you'd go on walking. They're going, sometimes then they'd meet other scholars, and they do the same grant. And this way all the older teachers and all the older, see, Navadvipa at that time was the seat of Sanskrit learning in India. Of course, Benares has always been a very big seat, and I would say that today probably Benares is more the center. But what we can understand that, particularly in that period, that Navadvipa was considered to be the center. Since the time of the Gouda kings, the king of Lakshman and Balal Sena dynasty, before the Mughal rule, when they established their capital from Malda and put it in Navadvipa, that became a very great seat of scholars. Jayadev, he was there before he went to Jagannath Puri and spoke the Jagannath Stotram and the other great poetry that he wrote. And many great scholars had all collected around Navadvipa, even during that time with people were coming from all over India to go to Navadvipa. So there was no shortage of great scholars in the town. And even as a young boy, as a young man like that, he had defeated everyone. They'd meet someone and he would ask these different kind of questions, and then the person he would be stuck, he would say, long live Nimai Pandit. You are the greatest scholar. So, in this way, it was a type of, little bit of chivalrous spirit, but in a very, very mellow, kind of nice mood, not harsh at all. Then the older people, they were seeing and they're thinking like, well, obviously he's a devotee, but if this is not pure devotional service. I mean, this is getting into vidya, into simply knowledge and education, and although definitely it's all philosophical and everything, but nonetheless it's not really a pure practice of Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. So they would be praying that may Krishna bless this Nimai Pandit to become a devotee. He becomes a pure devotee, then that will be very great for the whole humanity. Sometimes old people, they'd meet Lord Chaitanya in front of his students and they would chastise him. They'd say, what is the use of all this materialistic learning and all this big show of scholastic feats without pure bhakti to Krishna. You should simply surrender unto spiritual master and you should simply preach pure God consciousness. This is the actual practice, God consciousness, practice Krishna consciousness, bhakti. There's nothing else. Lord Chaitanya also, he said, yes, I want to. Just a little longer, short time, I'm just enjoying this scholastic pursuit, but as soon as I reach my spiritual master and get the mercy, I will definitely take up pure devotional service. And this way he would not argue with me, he would agree. And he would continue his rounds. So, in this way, Nimai Pandit, the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those days, became, of course, known and loved by everyone. He would, sometimes, what would happen though is that he would hear the name of Krishna or he would somehow become just ecstatic. And at that time, he would completely become absorbed in a Mahabhav ecstasy. And tears coming from his eyes, and he would be shaking and crying. These are all type of spiritual ecstasies in Krishna consciousness on a very advanced platform. So while he was in that ecstatic trance, he would say so many things about Krishna. Sometimes he would say what his own purpose was, that he was Krishna, or various things. And no one knew what to make of it. And then when he came down from his ecstatic trance, then he would be a little bit bashful. He would only come down, especially when people chanted Hare Krishna, that would bring him down. So then he would just say, well, there must be some disorder in my ears. Sometimes people, if their ears get disordered, their limbs start to move and various things happen out of their control. Some people were praying that, oh, he must, and they would chant Hare Krishna, so that they thought that he was being attacked by some disorder of the airs in his body. So they would chant Hare Krishna and pray for his health, and when he heard the chanting, that would bring him back down from his ecstasy. But they thought that, well, you know, that he was coming, he was being helped from this disease. And so then he would say, yes, of course, what is this temporary body? It's going to not going to be here forever. You're also not going to be here forever in this body. It's only the permanent soul that counts. And this way he would joke with them and they would think that yes, he was just sick and now he's all right. And this way then Lord Chaitanya, he would keep his identity a secret. Then sometimes he would take his followers like Mukunda and others in a private place and just discuss with them. And then sometimes he would sit with all of his students on all sides. Just like the Lord, when he previously came, Naranarayana came in Badrik Ashram, in the Himalayas. At that time he was teaching the four Kumaras and other such celestial great sages who even came from other planets. And he would teach them, and there were all these sages there, and Narayan was teaching them. So again, we see the same type of pastime that Lord Chaitanya is teaching all of his students, and the original Narayan coming is Lord Chaitanya, and he's teaching all of his students who are on all the sides. So in this way, it was very beautiful to see Lord Chaitanya with all of his students, and passerbys would just see that how beautiful Lord Chaitanya was, how wonderful this was, they would become absorbed. Lord Chaitanya became practically the talk of the whole town. Then Lord Chaitanya, he'd go home after finishing his class. First he'd go to the Ganges and he'd have sports, little swimming in the Ganges, after taking his bath in the Ganges. Then he'd go home. Immediately after going home, after his bath, then he would worship his Shaligram Shila, self-manifested deity of Vishnu, but he would see it as Krishna. After worshipping his Narayan, then he would water the tulsi tree and circumambulate the tulsi. Then he would sit down and the wonderful prasadam which was cooked by Mother Sachi and his wife Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya would bring that prasadam, big mound of rice with a sukta, bitter, spinaches, saag, different type of green leafy vegetables, different kinds of chachuris, burnt, purposely charcoal, broiled type of vegetables, and various kind of vegetables and preparations. And this would be personally served by his wife, Lakshmi Priya, and his mother would just see how this is going. She'd be very, very satisfied to see Lord Chaitanya taking prasadam. She'd be very satisfied by that. So people, they didn't know that Lord Chaitanya was actually Krishna. They took it that he was, of course, leading a very holy life, very pure life, doing as a pure brahmana. They had that respect. He was a great scholar, a great pandit. But he was keeping his actual identity hidden from them. And he was always joking with different people in various subtle ways. This was, of course, very humorous in a way. You see, Lord Chaitanya, he would go around the town with his friends, with his students. And so he would go he'd go into the handloomer house. He was equal with everyone. He would just go in this, knock and go in someone's house. And they would welcome him, they give him a nice seat. He'd go into the handloomer's house. And the handloomer would pay his obeisances because he was the greatest scholar in the town. He'd just come. And he'd say, what can we do for you? And he says, what cloth do you have? Bring me some cloth. What's that latest cloth? And he'd look at the cloth and say, okay, give me this one and give me this dhoti. And about every 10 days he'd get a whole new set. Very, very, very good dresser. Sometimes a person would give it free size. How much? They say, well, you know the price. What do you want to give? So they give some conch shells. In those days they didn't use money so much. They used mainly conch shells. Of course, for big things they'd use money, but for little things like cloth, and they just use some conch. So he'd buy, put on his new set, give the old set to the students, and then go off. Then he went over to the cowherds from the handloomers. He'd go over to the cowherders. When he go to the cowherders, say, hey, Gopalas! Hey, cowherders! Then they say, oh, it's Nimai Pandit. And say, come on, come on! And they give him a nice seat, and they'd wash his feet, and they bow down, and they'd say that, yes? And he'd say, well, come on, bring on the milk, bring on the yogurt, bring on the ghee, bring on the cheese. So then, but I don't have any money. So how will I get? They said, that's all right. They brought, and then they gladly gave him and his students, they gave them so many offerings of milk products. And this way they'd have various little exchanges. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would encourage them in various ways. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he go from the cowherder, I guess he go around the whole town, you see, just make his little rounds. Go to the scented oil merchant. Again, give a nice seat. He says, well, what do you have today? The scented oil, he said, well, I have got such an oil that if you put it on you today, go to bed tonight, tomorrow morning, if you still don't have the scent, you can get your money back. The Lord Chaitanya said, well, but I don't have any money, I'm just a poor brahmana, just a poor scholar, what do I have with money? So, they would all melt when they see Lord Chaitanya. These were all, you see, after performing many, many austerities, they were able to be in Navadvip, and then the Lord, in this informal way, is going, visiting their house, visiting their establishment, and talking with them. So then, they gave some oil, disciples rubbed Lord Chaitanya, special oil for his head, oil on his body. Then again, he left the oil man's house, going down the street. All the other scholars said, "Here comes Nimai Pandit." They all run. Kind of like, you know, a lion coming with the whole flock. So then, after that, the Lord Chaitanya went to the florist, to the person that makes these malas. And then, oh, the mala, with great respect, offered a seat to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, do you have any malas for any humble brahmana?" And then he gave a beautiful garland to Lord Chaitanya. And he said, "I don't have any money." He said, "Well, you can give or not give. That's not a problem, actually. This is all for your worship." So in this way, Lord Chaitanya gave his merciful glance on the florist. And again, he went out with his students, and they were wandering around. And then he went to the house of the pond beetle merchant. So there, he sat down, the beetle merchant gave him a nice seat, offered him all respect. Then he offered him, "Here, have some nice pond." Then he brought out different type of spices for Lord Chaitanya. He took his pond, gave his blessings, and then went on out through the town again. And this way, he was going with all of his followers and visiting everyone, and everyone was reciprocating with him. And this way, just like when Lord Krishna, he went to Mathura, he used to walk through the whole town and everyone come out and see him, from Kubja to this one to that one. And Lord Chaitanya, he was going, just like Krishna was going through Mathura, he was going through the whole of Navadvipa, from house to house, person to person. And everyone was conscious of Lord Chaitanya, and actually they were hoping that Lord Chaitanya would again visit. It wasn't every day he would visit. He was going like this gradually, one to another. So then, Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Shankha Bonik. That means a man who makes the jewelry from corn shells. So he offered Lord Chaitanya some corn shell for his wife. Lord Chaitanya, I can't remember, there's so many, everyone, there's little jokes that Lord Chaitanya played with him too. I can't remember all the details, but Lord Chaitanya went on. Then there was one astrologer who had some special power to see the future. So Lord Chaitanya went there, and Rishi very respectfully said, "You are a great scholar, you know the past, present, the future by your astrological and by your visionary ability. Could you tell me what was I in my previous birth? In my previous birth." So the astrologer started to chant a Gopala Krishna mantra to give him the vision. And then he started looking at Lord Chaitanya, closed his eyes, meditating. All of a sudden, in his vision, he saw Shankha Gada Chakra Padma. He saw there lotus flower, he saw the corn shell, the club, and the Sudarshan Chakra discus in the form of Narayana. He was completely astonished. There he was seeing Narayana. Then gradually his vision was coming, and there he saw that there was inside of a prison house. That there was a baby, and then Narayan became a baby in the hand of Vasudev and Devaki. Vasudev took the baby over to across the raging river to the place of Krishna, to the place of Nanda and Jasoda in Gokula, and changed the babies and gave the baby boy blue color, Krishna, to Mother Yasoda, and saw the boy grow up. Some breastfeeding from Mother Yasoda, some growing up, and then saw him playing on the flute, dancing in the Ras Lila, and tending the cows. And like this he saw Krishna, the whole Krishna Lila went before him. He said, "Why am I seeing this?" then he looked, and there he see Lord Chaitanya, Sachinandana. And then he couldn't understand why. Why am I seeing? Then he closed his eyes and meditate. And then he saw Ramachandra, green color with his bow, and Hanuman, the great monkey. And he saw that the form of Ramachandra. Then he started seeing
There's Matsya, swimming, the incarnation of God is a fish swimming in the big ocean, saving the Vedas. Then he saw there's Bali being saved by Vamanadeva. Saw the form of Lord Vamanadeva. Then he saw the form of Nrsingadeva, killing him on Nikashipu. Saw the form of the Lord as Varaha, lifting out the earth from the lower regions of the universe where it fell, where it had become dislocated from orbit, and then again reestablished. In this way he saw, then again he looked at Lord Chaitanya, and he saw that he was just very powerful and effulgent and filled with spiritual potency, and he said that this is some great mystic yogi, or this is a great demigod who's come, and somehow he's giving me all these visions just to bewilder me. This is somehow some test or something. He's not an ordinary person. But because of the illusion, you see, he couldn't figure out that actually why he was seeing was that this was Krishna himself. He's seeing what is his previous birth, and then he's seeing that this is all Krishna's avatars. Because, see, the illusion is there covering Krishna. If Krishna doesn't want someone to realize, even he's standing in front of you, you won't be able to actually have faith or have understand that this is actually Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was what... So then he became completely just bewildered, and he offered his obeisance to Lord Chaitanya, but he thought to Lord Chaitanya, but he thought that he was some demigod or something that came down. He couldn't understand who Lord Chaitanya was, but he knew he was someone very powerful. But he didn't tie the two things together, although he had all these visions, which was the same thing happened in Krishna's pastime when an astrologer went to see Krishna, Gargamuni. Then the Nanda asked Gargamuni to please do the horoscope for Krishna, and then he saw that in the previous births, Krishna was green, he was yellow, he was red, in this way. He also had the vision of Krishna's previous incarnations. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he went with his followers and he went over to see banana peddler Sridhar. Very poor man. He used to sell bananas, banana flowers, banana tor, core of banana tree. The tor, the center part of the tree. The core of the banana tree. And also all type of sibanjan or various type of vegetables. And but he was very, very poor, so Lord Chaitanya would see him though, and he would give Lord Chaitanya a very nice seat, and again there was a nice reciprocation. So then Lord Chaitanya asked how everything is going, and he said, whatever I'm getting, I'm trying to offer 50% to the Ganges and puja. And so then Lord Chaitanya would say that, but your cloth has got holes in it. And your house is not, the roof is not repaired. There's some holes in the roof. See, don't you think that, look at all the, he would joke, you see, in this way. He said, look at all the materialists that are worshipping various demigods. They are so rich. You are so poor. So why you are a devotee of the Supreme Lord, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, why you are poor? And why these people who are worshipping demigods who are doing other materialistic endeavor, why they are rich? So then, banana peddler Sridhar, he said that my cloth may be short or may be long, or may have one or two ribs or not. But after all, I have a cloth. You see, I have some cloth. That's enough. And the house is air conditioned. The house is cool. It's somehow things are coming. And he said that whether one is a big king and he's got so many jewels and so many servants and so much wealth and opulence, and he eats off of golden plates. Or whether, on the one hand, you see that there's a bird that's in the tree, he doesn't have any cloth, he doesn't have any helper, he goes alone and picks up branches from here and there, builds his own house, with no helper, and he picks up some grains, and he feeds his family, and that's about it. Whether one is a big king or whether one is a bird in the tree, the standard of happiness is there in both, and the misery is there in both. So I'm simply concerned with serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, simply practicing my devotional service. I don't care to try to imitate the materialist. Actually, Kolavicha Sridhar, or Banana Peddler Sridhar in English, he knew that in this material world, no matter what arrangement you make, there's always a mix of happiness and distress. You may be a President Reagan, but you've got your headaches. And he's also got maybe his joys. But he doesn't have pure joy, neither pure headache. It's mixed. But Kolavicha Sridhar, Banana Peddler Sridhar, he's offering simply whatever he has, he's offering it to Krishna. If Krishna wants to make me rich, he'll make me rich. I'm doing my honest labor. I'm selling my vegetables, I'm doing what I can. I'm not going to stop worshipping Krishna on some kind of material desire. So actually, he was always happy. He was happy because he wasn't dependent on a material situation. Even he was in a poor situation, he was actually the richest person. So the Lord Chaitanya told him, actually, you are a very, very rich person. I know that you have somewhere stashed, somewhere hidden, huge wealth. You have concealed your wealth. And I'm going to reveal it one day. And I'm going to let everyone know that this is all a show. Actually, you are the richest person here in Navadvipa. So it appeared to Banana Salesman Sridhar, a very simple devotee, that the Lord Chaitanya was threatening to cause him, you know. And he was a little bit afraid of Lord Chaitanya. He's much bigger than I am. I mean, if he wanted to, he could probably beat me up. And being he's a Brahmin and I'm just a banana salesman, I couldn't make any objection anyway. And I wouldn't want to also offend Lord Chaitanya. So I better just cooperate with him. So then Lord Chaitanya said, you are very rich, so you should give me some bananas and some vegetables. But I don't have any money. So he was thinking, well, anyway, it's a great opportunity for me. He's a pure Brahmana. He saw me as a great Brahmana. He's a great master. He's coming. So he said, all right. But there was a little bit of intimidation there. He was a little bit afraid. But actually, Lord Chaitanya was doing it in a very friendly way. And he was taking it like that. He actually didn't want Lord Chaitanya to go anywhere else. So he gave Lord Chaitanya some bananas and some other vegetables and things. And Lord Chaitanya would regularly eat only the vegetables from Sridhar. But then again, Lord Chaitanya said that I'm going to reveal your real hidden wealth one day. But actually, Lord Chaitanya was telling the truth. Because banana salesman Sridhar was the richest person. He had actually pure devotion for Krishna. Krishna was keeping him in that poor condition just to show an example that a devotee, even in a poor condition, does not give up. It's not that just because it's opulent a devotee is a devotee. That even if the going's rough, a devotee stays very dedicated in his service. Sometimes Krishna takes that devotee and makes an example. Puts him a little difficult just to show people. You see, he is a pure devotee. And this is why a pure devotee should act, even in difficulty. So Kolavicha Sridhar, Banana Peddler Sridhar, Lord Chaitanya eventually did reveal his actual glory. But since he was himself now revealing his position, naturally he also didn't reveal Kolavicha Sridhar's. So then, Lord Chaitanya asked, what about the Mother Ganges? And he said, well, the Mother Ganges is purifying the whole world. All the sacred river Ganges is coming from the lotus feet of Vishnu. He said, who do you think I am? Well, I think you're a part of Vishnu. You're a Brahmana. You're a Vishnamsa. You're a part of Vishnu. Therefore, I respect you and worship you in this way. And then Lord Chaitanya said that, you don't know that I am the source of the Mother Ganges? Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Normally when boys grow up, they get more serious, but as day by day you become more Vishnu. How can you say such a thing? In this way, there was a... Actually, Lord Chaitanya, if he doesn't want to let someone know, then they can't understand who he is. So even though he was making all these different comments, no one can take him seriously until later, when actually he finally fully manifests the Sankirtan movement. And then it was Advaita Gosai and the Srivas Thakur who actually could understand first who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and of course Nityananda. And this way then. But Lord Chaitanya, as he was playing the part of a devotee, he would not let people call him as Krishna. This was just a rare thing. He was joking, or he was playing some particular pastime with Kolavasita. Ordinarily, especially when he started his preaching, he would not let anyone call him as Krishna. He would cover his own head and say, this is a great offense. Unless he was in some specific ecstatic mood, where he sometimes rarely came into that mood where he actually manifested his mood as Krishna. Only that was amongst his intimate associates. Like that, there are so many really esoteric and really transcendental pastimes regarding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The most wonderful, of course, is the fact that he has engaged everyone in chanting this Hare Krishna Sankirtan. Actually, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not new. It's not only that it was in this Kali Yuga, in this particular age. In the Treta Yuga, the great sage Valmiki, he was previously Dasuratnakar. He was a ferocious dacoit, a armed robber and murderer. And he was approached by Narada Muni. And after a great long story, of course, but finally he was told to chant the name of Ram. He said, I can't chant the name of Ram. Can't chant the name. I couldn't say Ram. I can't chant any of these type of holy names. I've been a murderer too long, it's not possible. So then Narada thought, he told him, you just chant Mara. Mara means to kill. So that I can chant. 100 times over. So I'm used to those things. So then he started chanting Mara, 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 Rama, 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 Rama. And then you chant it together, it comes out Rama, 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 Rama.